Hi, this is Julie Hoffman, Associate Editor of thecorporatecouncil.net, and today I'm here with Lois Uro, who is President of Investor Communication Services. Lois has an excellent handout that gives practice pointers on plain English that you can access on the same page where you access this podcast. And I thought now would be a good time to sit down while we're in the midst of the annual report and proxy season to refresh our recollections on just how to create disclosure documents in plain English. So Lois, my first question is, can you give us a brief overview of just what is plain English?
Plain English is a way of writing or presenting information that focuses on what your audience needs and what your audience will understand. For example, if you are writing for your typical lay investor audience, you want to avoid using industry language, technical language, legal language, without at least explaining it. You can't assume that people will understand your very specific industry terminology. The second point of plain English is to highlight the most important information, make it easy for people to find, and reduce or optimally eliminate all the filler details, distractions that keep readers from getting the critical information that you want them to have. In a securities law context, plain English is what Rule 421D says it is. Rule 421D requires issuers to use a few basic plain English principles like short sentences and concrete everyday words.
And when does the SEC require companies to provide plain English?
In prospectuses and MD&As, the SEC generally requires you to be clear, concise, and understandable. Unfortunately, the results the SEC was getting with that very broad requirement weren't very good. And that's why they came up with Rule 421D in the first place, back in 1997. Now, plain English is specifically required in a handful of places. First, in prospectuses for public offerings, the front and back cover, the summary page, the risk factors. If you're doing a merger, tender offer, going private transaction, you must give your investors a summary term sheet in plain English. In your annual report that people are working on right now, the risk factors must be in plain English. In your proxy statement that you're probably also working on right now, the compensation disclosure is required to be in plain English. Mutual funds are now required to do some of their presentation in plain English, and there are rules pending for investment advisors as well.
Okay. Now, I know there are some companies that exceed the plain English requirements. Can you explain or provide some insight into why they might do that?
There are a couple reasons why a company would do that. One is just consistency. If you're working on your proxy statement, and you've put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into putting your CD&A, your compensation disclosure, into plain English, if the rest of your proxy statement is not written in plain English, it just looks weird. And hopefully it will bother you. You will notice that the CD&A is easier to understand than the rest of the document, and it will bother you, and you will want to make everything consistent. Second reason. Plain English will improve your document. You will find mistakes as you are going through and trying to rewrite things that have been in your document forever, and nobody's ever really focused on exactly what you're saying. I guarantee you will find a mistake. I always find a mistake when I'm reviewing people's documents. Your document will be easier for your investors to understand, so they will appreciate it. Regulators will appreciate it. And finally, using plain English, I think, and there are some studies to back this up, saves money because people understand what you are trying to tell them. Your investor relations staff is not spending hours a day after your proxy statement comes out answering the phone to answer investor questions, because the investors can read the proxy statement and understand what you're trying to tell them. Your printing costs may be lower because your document is likely to be shorter. There are a variety of reasons that using plain English will save you money, and that's a great reason to do it.
Along those same lines, how much time and expense is involved in converting a document into plain English, and who generally takes the lead on doing that?
The first time you create a plain English document, it's very time-consuming. The expense will vary, obviously, depending on whether you have the work done in-house or have the work done by somebody outside of your firm. But the fact is, you really need to focus on everything that you're saying in your document, whether you need to say it, how it can best be said, how it can be said in a more streamlined way, whether the information should be presented in text or in a chart. You'll spend a lot of time rethinking absolutely everything in your document. And obviously, that will cost some money if you've got an outside person who's billing by the hour. If you've got an in-house person, it will be just devoting resources that you might have wanted that in-house person to use for other things. After you get your document in really good shape the first year, the subsequent years are just a matter of updating and maintaining, and that requires obviously a little bit less focus, but you do need to commit to being consistent so that 5 years out you don't realize half of your document is plain English and all the new stuff has gone back to being gobbledygook.
Finally, do you have any practice pointers for how companies can improve their documents without doing a full-blown conversion of everything in that document to plain English?
Sure. In the handout, I give, I believe, 22 tips with some examples of ways that companies can improve their documents. But here are the top four. First, find 10 words or phrases that people outside of your company or outside of your industry would stumble over, and either replace them with more everyday words or make sure that you have really good explanations. Second, add some white space to make your document look a little bit more inviting. Break up long paragraphs. Make sure your margins aren't too small, that you don't have 25 words going across a line. Make it look less intimidating. Third, add headers. Wherever you can, add a header or a subheader so that you can focus on how your document is organized and your reader can find exactly what they want very easily by looking for a header that addresses their point. And finally, convert text to bullet lists or charts or tables, which again makes it much easier for readers to find exactly what they need with a minimum of effort.
That's great. Lois, thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure.